Hello, and welcome again to Parent is a Verb on OU Radio. I'm Dr. Barry Holzer.
And I'm Hani Holzer.
And today, we're here to talk about sibling rivalry.
And one of the things, you know, when we think about siblings or sibling rivalry is, you know, you kind of scratch your head and go, why can't everyone get along? And why is this rivalry or this competition so routine in almost every household that you will go to? This is a issue that visits every home where there's more than one child.
It's interesting because even when children seem to get along well with their friends, and when they're with their friends, they don't seem to have any problems fighting or socially. They're well accepted by, you know, their peers. Somehow, when they're home with their siblings, sometimes they get along and sometimes they look like they want to kill each other.
What is it about that relationship that is so unique to exclusion of all other relationships that can be and often does cause so much friction, hostility, and bad feelings that move into adulthood often with siblings?
Right. So I think to understand how to help children get along better with their siblings, which is really important in terms of them learning to develop relationships in general and just having good relationships with their siblings for the rest of their lives. Okay, and as well as learning to be good spouses and parents, we have to understand what the problem, how the problem develops. What's the root of the problem?
According to Faber and Maslisch in their famous book, Siblings Without Rivalry, they say the experts in the field seem to agree that at the root of sibling jealousy is each child's deep desire for the exclusive love of his parents. Why this craving to be the one and only? Because from mother and father, that wondrous source, flow all things the child needs to survive and thrive. Food, shelter, warmth, caresses, a sense of identity, a sense of worth, of specialness. It is the sunlight of parental love and encouragement that enables a child to grow in competence and slowly gain mastery over his environment.
So once again, as we've touched upon many times before, we have to remember that as parents, we are the be-all and end-all for our children. Much of what they do is contingent upon getting our approval, our validation, our love,
encouragement, and connection.
And so when another child is in the picture, right, unlike a friend or anybody else, they are competition for this love, connection, validation, caring, this bond that they want to have.
Right. It's almost as if there's going to be a scarcity of resources if there's another person in the picture, living under the same roof, called a sibling.
Right. And so that if there's only so much time and so much love that parents have, if there's somebody else who's going to take some away, I'm not going to have it.
Right. If mom and dad, you know, have all this enthusiasm around my brother or sister, what's going to be left for me? And if there's nothing left for me, then I'm not going to thrive and I'm going to feel worthless.
And that is, you know, when children feel this threat of losing their parents' love, adoration, caring, you know, focus, attention, then, you know, they become very protective of it.
And it really goes, again, back to scarcity of resources. If there's a famine, you know, and there's only X amount of food to go around, then, you know, everyone's going to have different reactions around that scarcity. Some people are going to, you know, rise to the occasion, rise to the top, and get all the resources and feel really okay, like they've outdone everybody. Some people are going to say, you know, why even bother, because I'm never going to get to the well for water anyway. So they just give up. And some people get really angry because they, you know, they feel like outcompeted and they feel like they're never going to get it right. Even if they get it right, they feel like they're never going to get it quite right.
And so, you know, different kids will react to this sense of a scarcity of parental love in different ways. Some will just get angry and try to push the other child aside or attack the other child, or they'll, try to just, some of them will more cunningly try to trip them up, or beat them up in, either physically or emotionally.
And, or make them feel bad or make them look bad.
Or just invalidate the other. Okay, saying, make them feel that they're not worth it, or mom loves me more than you.
Right.
And what they're really doing is expressing their own fear that maybe I'm not loved that much or enough.
Right. And I think, to go on to that, to continue that idea, one example that I really like to help to put, so that we as parents can put ourselves in that framework and understand it better, is the example of the husband who comes home and says, "Honey, I love you so much, and you mean so much to me, and you're so terrific that I've decided to bring home another wife to enjoy and, to
add. Someone we both can love.
Someone we both can love, exactly. And think about that, how you would feel. Really put yourself in that place if your spouse came home and said, "I'm bringing home somebody new so that we can both love this person."
There's a reason that in Hebrew that's called saros. And that's really what it feels like to a child in many ways. So as bizarre as that sounds to us, okay, it's an apt comparison.
Right, and let's continue with that. How about when the new wife finally does arrive, you see that she's very young and kind of cute, and when the three of you are out together, people say hello to you politely, they acknowledge you, but they go gaga over the new wife. "Isn't she adorable? Hello, sweetheart. You're so precious." Then they turn to you and ask you, "And how do you like the new wife?" And then, the new wife needs clothing. So your husband goes into your closet, takes some of your sweaters and skirts, and gives them to her. When you protest, he points out that since you've put on a little weight, your clothes are too tight on you, and they'll fit her perfectly. You're starting to feel a little bit, like what your child could feel like, what a child could feel like. And the new wife is maturing rapidly. Every day she seems smarter and more competent. And one afternoon, as you're struggling to figure out the directions on the new computer your husband has brought home, she bursts into the room and says, "Ooh, can I use it? I know how." Uh-oh.
And so this sense of being replaced, this sense of just not being important anymore, of being disposable, is really what a child goes through when he's dealing with a new sibling. Okay. And so, I often explain to parents that, the oldest child, especially if they're already 3 or 4 years old when you have your next child, will never, ever forgive you for having another child.
How dare you bring this thing home?
Right. And no matter how wonderful a parent you are, you have to understand that that's, part of growing up that they may have to deal with and get used to. But that doesn't mean they're ever going to like it. Even if they really like their siblings and get along with them, that's something that's, was not their choice and not what they wanted. So the question is now, what do we do? How do we help our children manage their feelings? And how do we help our children get along with each other so that sibling rivalry doesn't become a lifelong, fighting and anger or distancing and, coldness? How do we help our children become really close and good friends and have a warm relationship with each other and with us?
Well, I think one of the things we're really kind of touching on are all those negative feelings that can come out of the feelings of being displaced by a new sibling coming along or by having siblings. And what do you do when all of those negative feelings are getting expressed by the child? And I think part of it is acknowledging to yourself that, this is normal. These negative feelings aren't some horrendous, terrible thing that, you have this child who's expressing negativity around their sibling and there's something wrong with this kid because they're being all negative around their younger brother or sister. No, that's not true at all. It's very, knowing that that's normal is important.
Right.
And then also acknowledging those feelings to the child that, yes, you know, I understand that you're angry. I understand that you're frustrated.
Right. It's important, I think, exactly, to first validate the feelings, to put their feelings into words, to say, you seem very angry. You seem very upset that she's playing with your toys. You seem very upset that, you know, she's bothering you when you're trying to, you know, play your game.
Right. You know, if a child says that my, you know, my sibling always makes me feel like a moron, and your response might be, and it isn't a horrible response, it's not an abusive response, oh, just ignore him. That's invalidating. That's not validating or recognizing the feelings. Instead, a comment, you can say to the child, a comment like that, you know, that your sibling said to you, I can understand how that would make you mad. Acknowledging that something the sibling said or did could make you angry.
Right. That recognize that the emotional pain is there.
It's basically putting the feelings into words for the child.
And that's really important that, you know, once if you can validate their feelings, that alone helps them feel calmer, okay, and makes them feel validated.
And understood.
Right.
And like that having a negative feeling about their sibling is okay.
And remember, because the sibling really isn't what they're after. They're after your validation, your approval, your attention, your ability. You know, if you dismiss them, then it compounds the issue that, see, my sibling gets me upset and mommy doesn't care.
Right.
Whereas if you validate how they're feeling, well, my sibling might get me upset, but mommy cares about me, and that's really much more important. And kids can calm down much easier as long as they know that.
Right. And I think it also, the validation of the feelings doesn't allow for those negative feelings to grow and fester because they're quelled. The child feels understood and acknowledged. And, you know, so what do you do also when, you know, children have very, you know, hostile feelings of like, could someone take this baby back, please? I don't want this baby around anymore. I've had enough of this baby.
Right. So if you say, oh, you don't really feel that way. I mean, yeah, they do. Trust me. They really feel that way. At the moment, this is how they feel. And they don't feel that way 24/7. But right now, they're feeling, I wish somebody would take this baby back.
Right.
I don't want them. It was a cute idea for a while, but it decided it's not really a good idea anymore. So let's return it.
And so responding to those feelings by saying, you don't want that baby here sometimes. Sometimes you just wish that baby would go away. That's acknowledging the feelings. That's expressing what the child might wish.
Right. And so you're not saying that, well, you're right, that your baby shouldn't be here, right? You're just acknowledging that that's the way they feel. And they're allowed to feel that way. That sometimes it is hard to have a sibling and it's hard to share. Okay? There are positives and negatives. And part of their feelings is, I wish this kid would go home.
Right.
To somebody else's home, not mine.
Right. Or when there's you know, friction between siblings, like, you know, a little girl comes home and says, you know, I heard my brother laughing about me with his friends. You can say, one response might be, yeah, okay, so what? That's what boys do. Oh, yeah, that's what boys do. But what you need to respond to is the feelings. So it's, oh, that hurt your feelings. You wish he'd show some loyalty to you when he's with his friends. That's expressing what the child might wish. The child might wish that her brother could show some loyalty to her, even if he's with his friends.
Right. And then, you know, if you validate the feeling, it really makes it much easier for the child to then deal with their feelings, not just be angry and harbor anger at their sibling, okay, but then deal with feelings. If you validate it, then they can actually talk about it. Okay. And they might even bring it up with their brother or with you and your brother together. Or, you know, they might, you know, say, how come, you know, this happened and, you know, have a discussion. And then the anger resolves. Okay. And the relationship can grow.
I mean, there are also, you know, sometimes kids say things like, you know, the kid goes, the toddler goes over to the baby and looks as if he's hurting the baby. So, you know, you can say
right.
something.
They go to make nice and all of a sudden you're yanking their arm as if they're pulling it out.
Right.
They're going to make nice with their hand. All of a sudden they're smacking their hand or scratching.
And, you know, one response is, you know, what are you trying to do? Break her arm off? You're a bad boy. But instead, you know, encouraging some creative expression around their hostility might be better by saying something like, you know, hurting, you're not allowed to hurt your sister, but can you show me how you feel? Here's your doll. Let's do it to the doll.
So that, in other words, you can allow things in fantasy that we can't allow in reality. And this is what children do in general. You know, when we work with children in play therapy, it's because children work out their conflicts in their play. If you just watching children play is fascinating because, you know, they'll say the darndest things, but you'll really understand what bothers them and what their concerns are, you know, and that's why they play house and they play school and they play all the things that they live through. Okay, and they really try to work out the conflicts through the play.
And this also, you know, I think is so important for the future because this is a model for how to manage conflict. If they learn how to manage conflict at home and give voice to the conflict, they're going to be able to do that when they're in school, when they have, you know, a coworker who, you know, is annoying them or is difficult to work with. This is all material for later use.
Right.
It's teaching them how to manage conflict. So when an older child will say, look what she did to my blouse, I just want to take one of her blouses and rip it to pieces. You know, responding to that would be, you know, I think your sister needs to know how angry you are. Maybe you want to write her a letter.
Right. Find a way to express it safely.
Mm-hmm. And intelligently.
Right. And that you can actually put words to it, and so that we don't express things physically as much as verbally, and that's more appropriate. Or in writing, okay, in words, not in action.
Well, what about, you know, what I think one of the things I'm thinking about is, you know, what do you do when there's hurtful behavior? What do you do when the kids really are hurting each other?
Well, you're talking about kids fighting with each other?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think that, you know, sometimes parents get too involved in the details of, you know, who started and, you know, who to punish. And the fact is that usually doesn't help kids resolve their issues. Okay. If you rather sort of go in and say, okay, well, just describe what's going on. Well, it looks like, you know, you're playing and it looks like you want to play with him. And okay, then why don't you two try to work this out? Okay. Because just by talking and, you know, describing the situation, often it calms the situation down somewhat.
So what you're talking about is helping them negotiate.
Helping them negotiate and see and work on options in dealing with their conflict. It doesn't always work, okay? But when you challenge kids to do that and you show them a belief that you think they can do it, okay? Okay, so it sounds like, you know, you were here playing, you know, with the, you know, basketball first, and then you came and you wanted to play also, and you don't really just want to shoot by yourself. And now, you know, the other one wants to turn also. Okay, I hear that that's a problem. Okay, why don't you two talk about this and resolve it? And I'm going to go inside for a few minutes, and when I come back, you'll tell me what you decide to do.
Right, and then the resolution can be anything. It could be, okay, today I'm going to play and tomorrow I'm going to let him play, or I'm going to play for the next 20 minutes and then I'm going to give him 20 minutes and then at the end we're going to play together. We're going to shoot hoops together.
Right. So, you know, the key is that you want to empower your children to work things out. Okay. You want to, you know, you don't want to get too involved in enforcing because if you're on one side or the other, you're always going to lose. Okay, here, I didn't take any side, right? All I did is describe the situation and says, I trust you guys to work it out.
Right. I think the conflict resolution and also not necessarily, if one kid attacks another, not identifying with the attacker, but right. Going back to let's work on conflict resolution.
Well, very often when I have kids who are fighting all the time and we try to come up with a behavior plan, the behavior plan I like best is the cooperative behavior plan. Okay, everybody gets rewarded if we can avoid the fighting. Because even if one instigates, it takes two to tango.
Yes.
And so, you know, it might seem like one hits first, but the other instigated, and they know that they're involved and they're doing this.
And they also really know how to push the other person's buttons.
Right. So that if there's a reward for all of us not fighting, Okay? And if we get into a fight, it's not a matter, I started, you started, or I'm going to get you to start so you'll get in trouble, or I won't, none of us are going to get rewarded. Well, then we have to work cooperatively to resolve our differences and get along. Okay? And then again, it's another way that here I can reward everybody, right? A parent is not showing, in other words, that you can't be caught in this trap that your kids set to show you love me more.
Right. And it really is, that's a great word. It is a trap.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, I know people in senior citizens, okay, who, you know, whose parents have been dead for decades, and they're still vying for their parents' attention and love. And their relationship with their siblings is still all about, I want to show that mommy really loved me more. I mean, when people fight over, you know, sometimes people will spend more money on lawyers fighting over an inheritance than it's worth, okay? Just to prove that mom really wanted me to have it, okay? Right. Dad really trusted me more. Okay, and it's just about feeling that I didn't feel loved enough, and I'm going to get the love that I didn't feel I had. And people who don't resolve these conflicts carry it with them their whole lives, and you don't want to contribute to these conflicts in your own children. Okay, so therefore, helping them, you know, feel that each one is getting, you know, what they need, is really important.
Right.
And I think that's really the key. It's not about being equal, okay?
Right, which we'll discuss, you know, in a little bit. But I think, you know, brothers and sisters really need to have their feelings about each other acknowledged, and that's what this is about. You know, with words that identify the feelings. You sound furious at your sister. With wishes, you wish he'd ask before using your things. With a symbolic or, you know, creative activity, how would you feel about making a private property sign and hanging it on your closet door? You know, and children have to have their hurtful actions stopped. We're not allowed to hurt each other. People are not for hurting.
Right.
And to be shown how to, you know, work out their angry feelings acceptably. Tell them in words how angry you are.
Right. And then you can sit down with the two children and try to work it out and reiterate the rules. Okay? Nobody, we don't hurt anybody in this house. We don't destroy other people's property. Okay? I mean, you're just reiterating intense, you know, going over the rules of how everybody needs to work together.
Right. And then I think, you know, one thing that I wanted to, we need to address, I think, is also the comparisons, the making of comparisons between children, which I think probably when we were growing up was a lot more prevalent. You know, the why can't you be more like your sister, or, you know, why can your brother do this and you seem to not be able to do it? And really trying to understand why comparisons are never a good idea.
Right. The problem with the comparisons is that, you know, it's always going to make one child feel greater or lesser. Okay? And the problem is, even if you're talking to me and the other kid's not there and you're trying to make me feel like I'm the better one, well, you always, you know, it's like your friend who tells you, oh, this one's, you're great and I hate this one. You know that the next day she's telling the other kid that they're great and she hates you. Mm-hmm. You know, once you're making comparisons, right, kids don't feel secure. Okay. It takes away, they need a sense of security in their parents' love. And we have to be able to trust that the parents are really there for them.
I also think the comparison piece, you know, when thinking about it, is really setting up an underlying competition between the siblings. So you're not kind of creating this place of, like, we're all here together, you know, sharing and growing. We're kind of competing against each other.
Right. And the home should not be, you know, a competitive environment. It should be a supportive community. Okay? You don't want it to be a competitive environment, because that's going to just increase the rivalry. Okay?
Right.
That's what competition does. And so if you want your kids to get along, comparison, you know, even favorable ones are things that, you know, you just really want to avoid, because what you want to do is just focus on the positive. Don't say, oh, wow, you got a 98 in math. Your sister never did that. Say, wow, you got a 98 in math. I'm so proud of you. You really worked hard and you did great.
Yes. And that way also, when everyone is responded to as individuals, not on a comparative basis, we also can all cheer for each other when we do well, and we can support each other when we do well or when we don't do well.
And the fact is, children are going to compare by themselves either way. Okay? So they're going to know what marks they get or what SAT scores they got or what, you know, they're going to be able to do this comparison.
Yes, but when the parent does the comparison, it is so much more powerful.
Well, that's the thing. In other words, you don't have to create competition. It's there already. Rather, what you need to do is make them feel good about themselves and about their siblings, so that if my younger brother or sister does better than me, I can be happy for them and not be angry and feel like I'm gonna be pushed aside or feel less than.
Right. If everyone feels like they're acknowledged for who they are, for their strengths, and appreciated for that, then they can share that appreciation across the board. It creates that we all support each other environment.
Right. Each kid needs to know that I am loved, I'm cared for, I'm accepted. That, in other words, it's like this whole thing with, you know, parents trying to be equal. You can't always give kids equal time. Kids have different needs at different times. Right? So if, you know, one kid has a big project in school and needs a lot of help, you know, needs to talk about help, or they're having some emotional issue with some friends and they need to talk about it, and the other, you know, younger, you know, brother starts complaining, you spend too much time with her, you never have time to talk to me, you say, well, you know, right now she really had a hard day and she's really having some problems with her friends. I know your friends are important to you and hers are important to her, so she really needs my time. And when I'm finished talking to her, I really want to hear everything about what happened in your day.
And one of the things that, you know, I've tried at home, and it works pretty successfully, is especially when one child is having a particular challenge, be it academic or social, sometimes over dinner we'll talk about it together. I'll ask the other siblings if they have any ideas or advice for their sibling, you know, because they've been through some of this before in different ways, and maybe they want to lend their experience to the situation.
Right. So it doesn't have to be fair and equal time, okay? It has to make sure that every child is getting what they need. And some days your kid's going to be too busy and won't have time to talk to you. And some kids have less need to talk, and some kids have, you know, excessive need to talk about everything that's going on. So, you know, the key here is understanding your child and giving each child what they need. Because a child who feels loved and is secure in that sense of love does not have, doesn't feel a competition or rivalry with their sibling. They are able to love their siblings also because we're all part of the family.
Right, and I think that, you know, speaks to loving each child uniquely for their unique gifts. You know, who do you love best? Well, I love each of you. Each of you is special to me. You are my only Sarah. And in the whole wide world, there's no other Sarah like you. No one has your thoughts, your feelings, your smile. I'm so glad that you're my daughter. And the child feels, yes, I really am loved. It's showing children that they're loved because of who they are. They're loved uniquely for themselves, for their unique selves.
So I think if we remember that sibling rivalry really is the child's, you know, need to be secure in our love for them, and that by expressing that to them and reassuring them, and in our actions and what we say, showing them that they are important, they are loved, even if sometimes we get upset with them, even though we yell at them sometimes, even whatever goes on, that they, you know, they're important to us, we care about them, and no matter what happens, we love them unconditionally, then we open the doors for them to be able to love others, even their own siblings.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for tuning in to Parent is a Verb on OU Radio. We'd love to hear your comments or questions. Please send us an email at parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you.